Current state on 90.5 WKAR. Recently in the news, there was a story of a young girl from London who died of cancer at the age of 14. She had wished for her remains to be cryogenically preserved upon her death with the hope that someday it might be possible for her to be revived and cured of cancer. Her remains have been cryopreserved here in Michigan at the Cryonics Institute in Clinton Township near Detroit. It's one of only three cryonics facilities in the world. If you saw this story in the paper, it may have raised some questions about the topic and the Michigan facility. We've invited Patrick Heller, a senior board member of the Cryonics Institute, to the studio today to tell us more about how it all works. Welcome to Current State.
Good morning, Mark.
We want to clarify the difference here between cryonics and cryogenics. According to the Cryogenics Society, they're not the same thing. I think you would agree. Cryogenics is the physics of the production and effects of very low temperatures. What is cryonics then?
Cryonics is specifically using that technology for purposes of preserving humans and other animals with the idea that future medicine will be able to recover them, resuscitate them, cure what they died from, and rejuvenate them.
Some spectacular scientific breakthrough that awaits us that no one can anticipate today, in other words.
There's parts of it that have already happened.
What's already happened?
There are adults alive today that were frozen embryos at one time. It's pretty standard medical practice that there are females' eggs harvested and frozen at liquid nitrogen temperature to be later reimplanted to grow into human beings, and that's pretty standard that's
okay.
Done. You also had a report that came out in 2009 of a kidney tissue being frozen at liquid nitrogen temperature, thawed out and transplanted, and the patient that got it did long-term survival.
That was when they were still viable, though. The tissue was still had.
We can't harvest that until people are legally dead and clinically dead. So that's the same standard by which we hope to place whole bodies into cryonic suspension.
Can you tell us how did Michigan come to have one of only three cryonics facilities in the whole world?
It's just by happenstance. There was a professor at Wayne State and Wayne County Community College named Robert Ettinger that wrote a book called The Prospect of Immortality in the early 1960s, and it gathered significant coverage. The science debunker Isaac Asimov actually read that and said, this is a sensible idea of what the future might bring. And people started to contact him, enough so that an organization was formed in the Detroit area. And later in 1976, the Cryonics Institute was formed to do the actual services.
How did you become involved?
I read some articles in the 1970s on the idea of cryonics, and like everybody else, said, well, the prospects of success are not zero. And I happened to be working in the Detroit area. In fact, I lived only about a mile from Robert Ettinger at the time. Mm. So it was easy to get a hold of them and become involved.
How many people are members at the Cryonics Institute?
The latest count, I believe, is around 1,400.
And there are two types of memberships involved. Can you explain that?
You can join for a one-time fee, or you can join to make continuing membership payments. The individual members, if you pay one time, is $1,250, and for a couple or a couple and their minor children is $1,875. Then if you want to, you know, if that's kind of hard to pay, you pay a smaller amount, $75 application fee, and then either $120 a year or $35 a quarter to continue your membership.
And this is to be frozen at your death with the hopes that someday you could have life restored.
That gets you a membership. You actually need to sign a contract for the services The one-time payment members sign a contract for $28,000. The other members have to sign a contract with at least $35,000 funding.
I'm speaking with Patrick Heller, senior board member of the Cryonics Institute in Clinton Township, Southeast Michigan, which is one of three cryonics facilities in the world. There's been criticism of cryonics. I'm sure you're aware of it. Some other scientists have said there is zero scientific evidence to support the idea that the people who have died could be frozen and brought back to life someday. But others say there's no point to it, or even that it's a scam. You've acknowledged you're not a scientist, but you have some responses to these criticisms. What are they?
Yes, I do. The prospects of success is not zero, and if you don't have your body preserved, your eventual revitalization is a zero probability, and you don't know what the future is. As time goes on, the definition of death, the various kinds of definitions change. There's a legal definition. There's a clinical definition. A clinical one is just, when do you stop breathing? When does your heart stop beating? And over time, people who have died a clinical death have been rejuvenated, such as with CPR. And over time, medical technology has been able to go farther into the biological process of dying and rescue people and, in effect, save their lives, even if they've been dead by previous clinical definitions.
Do you want to be cryopreserved someday?
If necessary. There's exciting research that for curing I figure it's a disease of death, and I wouldn't be surprised if there are some people walking on the earth today who will never die of old age.
What's the ultimate goal here, then? To be brought back to life once or repeated times?
Well, you don't know exactly how life will go in the future. So this is like an ambulance to medicine of the future if you need it. I assume future medical capability will be able to go much farther into the dying process. So if you can preserve people at liquid nitrogen temperature, where metabolism basically is at a standstill, future medicine may, and I'm hopeful about it, but they may have the ability to say, oh, they're not dead by today's standard. Let's go thaw them out, fix them up, and rejuvenate them so that they have an indefinite healthy lifespan.
I understand there are also religious-based objections to cryonics. What objections have you heard?
Some people are not comfortable with that from their own religious perspective. Although, for instance, we've had two ceremonies performed by Catholic priests. In one of the instances, the priest asked his bishop, can I administer last rites to this person? And the bishop's response was along the lines of, well, if they're never resuscitated, they are dead, and it's appropriate to do last rites. On the other hand, if cryonics is successful, that's God's will, and I will not be opposed to that. The Cryonics Institute has patients that have also had ceremonies performed by religious leaders of Jewish and Islamic faiths.
In a recent interview, I know the facility manager at the Cryonics Institute said that they refer to people as patients.
That's correct.
Not corpses.
Right. You have to be legally declared dead under current law in order to have your body preserved. But by future medical technology, you may not be dead. So we're thinking of them as patients that are capable of being alive in the future.
Are you hearing of more people open to this prospect over time, or is the skepticism pretty steady?
People are getting more open to it over time. In the popular culture, I'd say half of the big name movie and television stars have done programs or movies with a cryonics theme in it. I mean, like Mel Gibson and Tom Cruise and Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's the idea of a plot. You know, it's in the Star Trek, one of the recent movies. The idea of it is presented as, yeah, this is just a standard technological thing for the future. Mm-hmm. So it is becoming more accepted.
I've been speaking with Patrick Heller, senior board member of the Cryonics Institute in Clinton Township, Michigan, one of three cryonics facilities in the world. Mr. Heller, thank you.
I appreciate that, Mark.